All right, turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. We'll start out in verse 1. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, that's after the flesh, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. In verse 9 of our text, we read, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, has more attributes than we can study and preach on our entire lives, and probably thousands of lifetimes. But this morning, we're just going to scratch a little bit the surface of one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. The very important thing. And that thing is that He indwells God's people. The Holy Spirit indwelling. And we want to look at several scriptures this morning, but we will continue to come back to Romans 8. That's a wonderful, wonderful chapter about the flesh and the Spirit. And God in God's people. When God saves us, He makes a change inside of us. What He does is, the Bible says, He changes our heart. He takes out a heart that's unable to receive spiritual things from God. Those things can't get in because that heart, the Bible calls it a stony heart. It's rigid, it's hard, and the things of God are unable to penetrate this heart. Now we know that He's not talking about the pump that's right here in our chest that pumps the blood throughout our body and gives our body lives. But He is talking about our innermost being, the innermost seat of our souls and our minds. And that's what's referred to as our heart in the Scripture. The Bible says that when He saves us, He makes this change and He turns this hard heart, which doesn't want anything to do with God, He turns it into a soft heart. And this soft heart can receive the things from God. That's how He changes us. And when He makes this change, the Spirit of God enters into us. And He dwells there. Right here in our bodies, He dwells with us. He lives with us. And I want to talk about that some this morning. He possesses our body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" The temple of God. "And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Isn't that something? That's something that we need to think about this morning. Something that we need to think about every morning. We, this body, we are the temple of God. Now, a temple is a holy place. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in us, it says. He is housed here with us. He lives with us. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" Thinking about that will cause us to think about ourselves a little differently. It will cause us not to want to sin, knowing that God is within us. He's inside of us. It'll make us not want to grieve the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Verse 17 says, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Which temple you are. There are three things I'd like to bring out about the Spirit's indwelling. To begin with, He dwells in us in an intimate way. He loves us. God loves us with a love that's greater than any love that ever has been known, ever will be known. The Holy Spirit, you might say, is the ruler of this house. He dwells here in this house, this temple, this house, this building that we live in. The Holy Spirit lives here with us. And He cares for us. I don't think that we give the Holy Spirit His due enough in our preaching and our thinking. But the Holy Spirit is God. He is one with God the Father. He is one with Jesus Christ the Son. He is one with them. He is God. It is brought out a lot in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. And we're going to read some of that here in a minute. But I want us to see that the Spirit dwells with us in a loving way. In an intimate way. Part of us. He is at home, if you will, in this house. This house being the hearts of the redeemed of Jesus Christ. He is at home here. Now, natural men are strangers to the Spirit of God. They are not acquainted with the operations of sanctification that He does in us. And that simply means to be separated, to be set apart. And that's what the Spirit does in us. He always guides us toward Himself, toward Jesus Christ. He leads and directs in our lives. He comforts us when we need comforting. And He intimately abides with those that are quickened by Him. That's who quickens us, the Holy Spirit. He quickens us because He covenanted, He agreed, He promised to do so before the foundations of the world. I want us to see Him in our lives this morning. The Holy Spirit of God. Oh, what a privilege. What a blessing to have God dwell with us. Do we even think about that? Let's give the Holy Spirit some attention this morning. He dwells here with us. He is present with us, even at this moment, by His promise. Jesus Christ is present here with us, even at this moment. That's the promise. Where the Holy Spirit is, there Jesus Christ is too. They're one, you see. They're one. Secondly, let's see, I want to read one more scripture, I'm sorry. John chapter 14. And verse 17. I'll start in verse 12. This is John chapter 14 and verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That he may abide with you forever. Verse 17 explains who he's talking about. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why can't the world receive the Spirit of truth? Because the world is just like we were. It has a hard heart. Those that are not saved have a hard heart. They have not been given a soft heart that they can receive the things of God. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But, listen to this, but you know him, ye know him. How do you know him? For he dwelleth with you. He dwelleth with you. What does it mean to dwell? He lives with you in this temple. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What a wonderful promise we have. He will not leave us comfortless. Okay. Secondly, I want us to see that He dwells with us constantly. Constantly. In other words, He is always here. A dwelling expresses a permanent abode. He's here permanently. We just read that He would be with us forever. A permanent abode. I bring this out because I want us to see that He is not just a visitor. The Holy Spirit is not a visitor in your heart if He's there. He is there permanently. He is there forever. John chapter 4 and 14. I do have quite a few scriptures I'm going to flip around to. Y'all follow me if you want to. If you don't, that's fine. John 4. And 14, we were just here reading verse 17 a while ago. Verse 13 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. And I know we're familiar with this story, so I won't read all of it. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He's talking about the Spirit. The well of water. The water that He shall give. He gives us His Spirit when He saves us. When He changes our heart from hard to soft, here enters the Spirit of God into us as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Do we need water? It's a must, isn't it? Our bodies are made up of 90-something percent water. We have to have water to live. That's why He uses this illustration. It's a very good one. Physically, we must have water to live. Spiritually, we must have this water that He's talking about here to live. And this water that dwells in us, we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God, it is a well that springeth up, we just read, into everlasting life. Praise God. We have the Spirit indwelling us. Now, He lives within the renewed heart. We're talking about a soft heart this morning that's been changed by the Holy Spirit of God. He lives within this renewed heart. And as He does, His constant and continuous influence on us maintains a life of grace in us. Did you get that? His constant influence on us. You know what it's like to be influenced or to influence somebody? The Holy Spirit influences us. And He always directs us, I said a while ago, toward Jesus. He always leads us toward Jesus Christ. He always leads us to the right answer. We have problems in our lives and we just don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. We don't know what the answer is. But when we rely on Him and trust in Him, He influences us toward the right direction. Every time. He always leads us to Himself or to Jesus Christ the Son. And He maintains the life of grace in us. That's what we're living. We're living a life of grace. We're living a life that Jesus Christ bought and paid for us. We're living the Christian life today. Oh, how we need to think about this more often. Because I believe if we do, we will tend to sin less. We will tend not to want to grieve the Holy Spirit that dwells within us more. We won't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We will not want to bring a reproach upon our Savior, who shed His blood for us. Now I want to look at Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." That's what happens when we do the wrong thing. That's what happens when we lean unto our own understanding and make decisions without consulting our God. We grieve the Holy Spirit. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Well, that's eternal security, isn't it? Sealed by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God whereby ye are sealed unto, that's the future, the day of redemption. Unto the day of redemption. Jesus Christ has not come back already. He's coming in the future. We are sealed unto it. Unto the day of redemption. Alright. Thirdly, the Spirit of God indwells us in a sovereign way. Now we know what sovereign means. It's two words, sober and reign. And it means one in control of everything. One over all. And we know that the one is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they are one. One times one is one. One times one is one. They are one. Three personalities, three identities, three separate holy spiritual beings operating as one. Also under the term dwell, it denotes sovereignty or ownership. He dwells in the house. And the Holy Spirit, as He dwells in our hearts, I want you to know that He is the boss, if you will. He is the head of this house. We are not. We're not the head of this house. He is. We're going to read a scripture in a minute that's going to tell us just that. He is owner of the house. He is not an underling, if you will. From the fact that the believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the apostle is going to point out that we are not our own. And let's read it. It's in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 6 and 19. Says in verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? In other words, God gave it to us. God gave us His Spirit. Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. We like to think that we are our own, naturally, that we are in control and that we are somebody. But let me tell you, if you are saved this morning, you belong to God. Not just part of you, all of you. You belong totally and completely to Him. And let me tell you why. Because He gave His life for you. We can look at it like He gave His life for you, that you would be saved, that you would live eternally. And then we can look at it like He gave His life for you, like I gave $5 for that bucket of squash the other day. After I gave Mr. Jack up there $5 for that bucket of squash was mine. And I could do whatever I want to with that bucket of squash. It was mine. And in the exact same manner, He gave His life for us. And He owns us. We are His. He is the ruler of this house. He is the ruler. The indwelling Spirit is the pledge and the earnest of eternal salvation. It's the execution of the eternal decree of God's electing love. It's the execution of it. It's the carrying out of it, of His love for us. His love for us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. I told you I was going to read a lot of scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 says, we are the